Be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike.
This is Bob Skier, writer of X-Men and Beast Machines, and you're listening to Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 55. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me, as always, is...
TFG and Mike, hello.
Hello, and joining us again is Kevin.
Yes, hello.
Hello. What be up, yo?
Oh, God. We do not need to get into Ebonics before noontime, or at noontime. Oh, my God.
Welcome to my land.
What's up is I decided that that Mike is the most annoying Twitter poster on the planet.
Oh, you mean with the 50,000 different Twitter accounts for each show?
Yeah, and that and the constant messages last night of what song he was listening to. I understand why he was doing it, but...
It wasn't because of the song. It was because of I was broadcasting live on Ustream last night.
I know.
And I was trying to get people's attention about it.
And I was annoyed by it.
Oh, I don't care.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes. So all in all, we're all back from a week. Unlike previous incarnations of the show, we actually have a consistent running now, at least for the time being, with TF Animated, or not Animated, TF Prime. God damn it, I'm staring at my site. But with TF Prime and having the last three episodes come out this week before its hiatus until... I believe it's February.
February, yeah.
Yeah. So, in that case, sorry, train of thought lost. So what did you guys think overall, like not getting too much in depth into each episode at this point, but just what did you think overall for the five-parter?
Kevin, you can go first.
Oh, I was pretty impressed overall, especially, I mean, I'd be interested to watch them all back-to-back-to-back now, 1 through 5, without any days in between them, to see how they gel together, but just watching them all individually and, you know, at separate times, I was pretty impressed. I mean, there's obviously some things I like more than others, and there's a few little nitpicky things I don't like, but if the series holds up to just what this five-part miniseries is, it's going to be a very good series that's going to rise to the top of, you know, probably one of the best Transformers cartoons ever if it can keep up on this level.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that there's a single thing that I don't like about this so far, outside of what I brought up in the previous episode, like the whole Bumblebee not being able to talk and sounding like a ghetto R2-D2. Yeah, shut up.
What was the other thing you brought up? The faceplate?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And Prime's mouth movements. I still hate Optimus Prime's mouth movements. There's a big difference. Okay, everybody, a lot of people that I've talked to recently, not really talked to, but a lot of posts that I've seen recently, like on Facebook and stuff, a lot of people didn't like Animated. Well, that's fine if you don't like Animated, but Animated emoted very well with that design. The faces, the mouths, and the expressions, the emotes were awesome. Optimus Prime and TF Prime, I hate his freaking mouth movements. They just look weird. I wish that they would just leave him faceplated all the time.
Yeah, I'd have to agree on that just because he does kind of look awkward when he speaks. It's just not, it's not the ideal thing that I would want to be looking at as far as Optimus Prime's mouth.
Yeah, Mike won't get this, but without his faceplate, he looks like Voldemort from Harry Potter.
Without his faceplate, he just looks, he just looks too weird. Just,
But other than that, you didn't see anything that you disliked about the five-parter?
Not really, because, I mean, you have, obviously, as we've said, it is a five-parter, so you have consistent story throughout. I mean, even the humans, honestly, these are probably the best humans we've had in series, in any series.
Yeah, they're definitely the best since G1, and they might be better than G1 humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. The humans don't, they don't bother me as much as I thought that they would. They're intelligently written. I mean, with the exception of the chick in there, but she's not badly written. It's just that she's a little annoying at times because of how giddy she gets upon certain subjects.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, the whole human dynamic in it is not bad.
Yeah.
It harkens back to Generation 1.
A lot of people keep saying, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kevin, a lot of people that I've, like, seen on Twitter post thoughts about it, a lot of people keep saying that, oh, well, Miko or whatever the hell her name is going to be the next Sari or the newest Sari. I didn't see her that way. I honestly saw her more as a teenage Carly, to be honest.
Well, and I think the reason she comes across as so giddy and maybe a little bit annoying is because they're really trying to contrast her and Jack.
Yeah.
As far as him being this one that's kind of reluctantly involved and not necessarily all about it, the quiet hero type guy or whatever, compared to her, which is, you had to have someone that was kind of excited about the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I guess we can go ahead and get into our discussion as far as 3, 4, and 5 go. I wrote down a couple of notes, didn't write down a whole lot, and I've already brought up the whole Prime mouth movement thing. In part 3, what really got me, and I know I'm going against my entire hatred of a certain character here, but Steve Bloom's Starscream just might turn me into a Starscream fanboy. It is just, it's so dark, sinister, and evil, yet completely, he's a complete wimp around Megatron.
And I found that I loved his voice even more every single episode.
Yep.
Like, it's something that was not only good, but it was getting better, or it was either getting better as the episodes went on, or it was growing on me.
Yeah, and the thing about Steve Bloom that I've noticed about a lot of his voice acting, because he's done Wolverine in several different things,
mm-hmm.
like, when he was trying to do, like, say, a different character, I don't remember what character it was, it wasn't Starscream, it wasn't anything in Transformers Prime, but it was another character, I could always hear bits of his Wolverine voices.
Well, and they actually brought this up on one of the forums I was looking at, and they were talking about how Steve Bloom sounds the same in every single thing he does or whatever, because mm-hmm. some people were hating on his Starscream voice. So I actually went and listened to most of his voices, and he does sound the same in just about every role, but there is, you know, little tiny differences. The closest one to his Starscream is his, in my opinion, is his Green Goblin voice. But yeah, he does have a very similar voice, but he puts little different twists on him, I think.
Yeah, he does. One of my other notes was Megatron. Just, wow. Welker's new Megatron is just wow.
I think his Megatron is right up there on par with Beast Wars Megatron in the sense of awesomeness by voice. And not only mm-hmm. that, but by how freaking insane and menacing he is. Mm-hmm. He tested this dark energon on himself and then went from there and it's like, oh, I'm going to raise a whole undead army and fuck all you guys.
You know, I thought his voice got a little more G1-ish in episode 4 and 5, but it's still a badass Megatron voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still kept that graveliness that... Yeah. That yep. is the Generation 1 Megatron, but it still harkened back to, you know, his newer incarnation of it, which was just freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I have no complaints other than some of the mouth movement. Not really the mouth itself, but just his, like, inner face, like, under the sharp things on the side of his face. Just his whole actual face for the design of Megatron. It's okay. I don't, like, completely hate it, but just sometimes his mouth movements, I think it's because he has teeth, to be honest. It looks so weird, but it looks cool at the same time.
Yeah. Episode 3 for me was kind of one of the ones that... It was the worst one out of the 5 for me. It scared me. Because I had seen Episodes 1 and 2, obviously, and I had loved both of them. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And then Episode 3 at the beginning, there was all these little things that got me nervous. It wasn't that I didn't like them. I was just nervous as to where they were going to lead. For example, Episode 3, we had our first AllSpark reference.
Yeah,
which I'm not a big fan of that. Ratchet used the exact same line he used in another episode when he said, "I needed that again," which wasn't necessarily bad, but I just thought it was kind of cheap for him to use that line again. But that didn't bother me as much as the AllSpark being referenced, and then the idea of this raising an army of the undead, I got a little concerned as to how far we were going to go as far as zombie land meets Transformers.
And then right as they start going to it, they just nix it right there.
Yeah, luckily. So I mean, these are just things that kind of got me nervous at first. They started referring to the Autobots as Team Prime, which...
Well, now, only Fowler said that, I think.
Well, whoever said it, or a couple people said it, and I just kind of got nervous. I'm like, please don't just keep calling them Team Prime. Bulkhead started to dumb down a tiny bit in Episode 3. Now, luckily, he didn't continue to do this,
yeah,
but there was moments in Episode 3 where he started to seem a little retarded.
Well, the thing about Bulkhead in this series, and what I've noticed, is there's some sort of... Like, we know he's a badass, but there's also some sort of leftover dumbassery from Animated's version of Bulkhead. Like, when he goes, oh, well, he never picks me to be in charge. Well, that's probably because Bulkhead does, you know, makes moves without thinking. You know, he basically leaps before he looks. I didn't quite mind it because it's not... I mean, unless you're really looking for it, it's not so... It wasn't so obvious to me, unlike the Animated version where everything out of the thing's mouth is just a dumb comment.
Right. The other thing that kind of got me nervous was there was only one moment in the 5 episodes where I didn't like the humans, and that was when they had their band moment, when they became a band and were playing.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a waste of a couple minutes.
Well, okay, and I can grant you that, but it was still kind of cool because the whole point is they have to stick together. I mean, you know, if you look, I think, I'm not sure if I'm jumping ahead or not, but it was either part 3 or part 4 where they're on the Decepticon ship.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack and Miko are fighting. And then Raph just walks away and they're like, oh, it'll be okay. We'll get home soon. Our bots will come back for us. So the way I see the three kids is that Jack and Miko are kind of like the more adults, obviously. And then Raph is kind of like their little son or something. I mean, I know I'm reading into it here, but it just seems like, well, Raph is super computer intelligent, whatever type thing. He's also very vulnerable because he's a 12 and a quarter year old kid.
I do like the fact that Raph can hack into things, and he basically had a duel between Soundwave and himself controlling the satellites.
Yeah, that was pretty cool in that last episode, or episode 4, whichever one that was in. Yeah, I like that Raph is kind of like the Soundwave's nemesis.
Soundwave was like, I'm going to bitch slap you if you don't give me control, and then he's like, the axe.
Yeah, that was a great line when they're like, you gave one of the big, huge, giant machines an axe. going back to that band, though, it did lead to a kind of a cool little scene. I like that that Miko ended up leaving the guitar in Bulkhead when he transformed. Because that was something, I don't know if they did that in other episodes, I mean, maybe they did that in animated or something, or maybe they did that in one of the Unicron trilogies, but I had never seen anything as far as, like, what happens if there's something inside the car or inside something when it transforms?
For animated, to answer part of your question really quick, I noticed a lot in animated that Bumblebee, when he would transform, he would take Sari out of him as he was transforming. So it was kind of like a fourth wall type of thing that they were breaking there. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of liked it. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, I liked for once we got to see what happens if you leave something in the with the Transformer as they transform. A couple other things I love from episode 3. First of all, I love the whole plot line where we had Optimus leaving charge to RC, who left charge to Bulkhead, who left charge to Jack, who left charge to Raph. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought it was cool that they actually made the humans have some side effects as far as going through the ground bridge.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Because, you know, it would have been very easy to just act like nobody's affected, just like the machines, but I'm glad that they're like, no, these are humans, they have to have some type of side effects from being warped through the Earth here. And also that they kind of touched on that the human nervous system and Energon wouldn't mix.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that they're actually treating humans as humans and machines as machines, which doesn't always happen in Transformers history. And then, of course, the first cassette coming out of Soundwave, if you want to call it a cassette.
That was not a cassette.
I know, but you have to call it that because that's what everybody thinks of when they think of Soundwave.
Yeah.
The first minion.
I know, but that was not a freaking cassette.
I know, but the first minion coming out of Soundwave.
Yeah. As far as the ground bridge stuff with the humans, first thing I thought of was Batman going through boom tubes in Justice League, because Batman had the same reaction in Justice League to the boom tube as far as going through it. So that I kind of got a chuckle out of that. What about you, Steve? What stuff from Part 3 did you like?
I have to agree with Kevin on the passing of command between people.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a funny part. I like the fact that Fowler gets captured.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
It's tortured by Starscream.
Yeah, and it leads to some cool things in Part 4 and Part 5.
Oh, yeah.
What do we think the minion that came out of Soundwave, is there a guess as to who that is? Or is it just some unnamed mini-bot?
It could be a blue laser beak buzzsaw, or I didn't really see it as a bat, so I don't think it would be rat bat. It could be a blue version of Laserbeak or Buzzsaw, but because I didn't really get a good, I mean, I got a good look at it, but because the thing is going so fast, I didn't really get like a good look as far as the overall design of the entire character bit, but
right. I will say that was the first example of someone that it seemed like they changed scale with him as the episode went on.
Yeah.
He came out of Soundwave as what I thought was a somewhat small character, but at one point during his flight, once he actually grabs Fowler or whatever, he's a massive size.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit worried about them messing with scale a little bit. But he was still pretty cool. Just to see him come out of Soundwave was, like, kind of epic.
Yep. I honestly, watching these last three parts, or, you know, these last three parts of the miniseries here, I've noticed that Soundwave, even though he still is using other people's voices, I've heard the vocode sound in the background.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I'm hoping against hope that once the series starts, they'll let him have his own freaking voice, because right now, Soundwave is my most hated character in the series. I cannot stand Soundwave.
I love Soundwave.
And it's not because I don't want to like him, it's just because of it's the same thing with Bumblebee.
See, I love it with Soundwave, though. I don't necessarily like it with Bumblebee, but I love what the idea was behind Soundwave so far.
I just don't like the design on him.
I love his face.
It's too weird. I'm not talking about his face. I'm talking about his whole robot body. It's just it doesn't.
I can see what they're going for here, but I would have much rather seen them do like the satellite Soundwave over this spy plane.
Yeah, I agree with the whole not being. I would rather him not be a plane type thing. But
he
as far as
his bulkier. is what it mostly is. It's that he's supposed to be a bulky character.
Right.
And the head looks fine. I can deal with that, but the body looks pretty weak. It looks like a Starscream.
I agree with you on the body.
It looks like a Starscream mixed with a drone.
Yeah, and I think that's my problem. I mean, like you guys said, the face and all that stuff, that's fine, but just the whole body. And, you know, and like you said, Steve, Soundwave is supposed to be bulkier. What would have been cool was if they had found a way to implement what they did with Soundwave in Transformers Animated, where every time he uses a new power, every time that he gets used for something, his powers grow up until he is fully whatever. I think that would have worked for this, but I don't like Soundwave as a spy plane.
No, if you're talking about his alt mode or if you're talking about his body, I can understand that. As far as the face and the thing that they're doing with his voice, I like both of those things. A lot of people don't like him because he doesn't talk, and I am not perturbed at all that he doesn't talk yet. I think he will still.
Right, I think he will still, and hopefully he does, but right now,
it kind of leads to the mystery and the kind of the covert nature that Soundwave always kind of has had. You know, he's always kind of been that one that's a little bit sneaky. There's more to him, to be cheesy, there's more than him that meets the eye. You know, he's kind of, you know, he's this badass guy underneath, but he never really brings it to the surface in comparison with Starscream, who's always trying to show off. So I think it kind of adds to his whole aura a little bit that he hasn't talked yet.
Yeah. Some of my notes for part four, after Starscream says, "Someone find out what is going on out there," I love that they used a music cue battle scene. That is just awesome. It's all music. It's no sound effects. It's no voices. It's just great.
Yeah. Are you talking about the part where it was like slow motion or not?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the slow motion part was definitely epic.
The slow motion, but the part that was epic for me was the music, not really the slow motion part.
Yeah. I think it was a combination. That scene was just really cool. It's something that we haven't really seen a lot of in cartoon-type stuff. Made it feel a little bit more almost like a movie.
Right, yeah. Let's see, what was the other note that I had? At the end of the episode, or close to the end of the episode of part four, Megatron bitch slaps Starscream.
That's my favorite.
Starscream got beat up.
Yeah. I think my favorite image so far from the whole miniseries is Megatron's massive boot or shoe on Starscream's face. When Starscream's laying on the ground and Megatron comes up and just steps on his head.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I was like, that's pretty epic right there. Because it just shows Megatron's sheer badass and power in this one.
Oh, yeah.
For me, episode...
Like I said,
go ahead, Steve.
I said, like you said, he mixes kind of G1 with Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
That's the fantasy you've got, so...
Episode 4 for me was kind of like the most uneventful one in the 5. It wasn't my least favorite, but it seemed like it wasn't like fantastic and it wasn't bad. It was just kind of a regular episode that had to be there so that we could get to episode 5. I liked Miko throwing up after she was inside of Bulkhead during the transformation again. I liked that one of the drones finally talked. More than just like little noises and whatnot.
Yeah.
He actually had some lines. Like I said before, Starscream's voice in this one and Megatron's voice in this one are just awesome. There's a ton of action in episode 4. Not as much as we get in episode 5, but there was a ton of action in episode 4. I loved Optimus Prime climbing up the mountain. I thought that was done excellently.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was just perfect.
That was just like him saying, "All right, I've had enough of this crap. I've got to get up to this fool."
Right. And just the way it was animated, it was so smooth. And, you know, I don't know, just him looking up and going up towards Megatron was one of the best sequences in the 5 episodes. And then the only other thing I had for episode 4 was kind of the cliffhanger they had left us with an army of undead from Cybertron, and I was concerned or interested to see if this army of undead from Cybertron was going to have personalities or identities, or if they were just going to be drones. But we can get into that when we talk about episode 5.
Yeah. I think with the whole battle scene at that Earth Battlefield or whatever the hell it is that Ratchet and Prime are fighting the zombie bots. Oh, as soon as like everyone saw it on the hub, everybody was like tweeting, "Oh my God, zombie Transformers!" It's like, holy crap, get over it.
See, that's the thing I was worried about, but
yeah,
but this is the end of it.
Yeah. The thing I liked best about the battle scene with Ratchet and Optimus was that they were thinking about it instead of just sitting there shooting for 25 minutes or whatever, how long the battle is supposed to be. Yeah. You know, Ratchet said, well, we've got to get up close and personal with these things and cut and just basically dissect them. And I thought that was interesting to see how they changed their battle plans.
And that they got, you know, they weren't dominating the entire fight. They had moments where
They got moments where it was robot pile on time.
And this for me again reaffirmed why Western animation is so much better than anime, because when Prime and Ratchet busted out their different weapons coming out of their arms or whatever,
mm-hmm.
we didn't have to have them go flying into the air with a freeze frame and some big person telling us that they have a new melee weapon.
I know it. I know.
Like, see how you can just do that without doing that? You can just have them bring it out and start killing people, and we don't need a freeze frame and you to tell us what weapon they're using.
Yeah. And in that sense, it's like Beast Wars.
Yeah, that's true.
They just pulled out the weapons and fired. They didn't say, and the power new let's go power up. Minicons activate.
Yeah, thank God. No, I thought it was cool. I wasn't upset at all that they had different types of instruments that they could bring out of their hands or whatever. I know some, maybe one or two people out there had a problem with that. But I thought it was pretty cool. And I love, I don't remember if it was episode 4 or episode 5, but I think it's episode 5 actually, but when Optimus's blade that he has out of his arm breaks, that's kind of cool. I don't know what his sword or whatever he had when he was fighting Megatron in episode 5. It at one point breaks in half and kind of stabs into the ground. I was like, that's pretty cool.
I think that's all we got on episode 4, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yep. For episode 5, I basically just had two notes. A lot of people I had seen on Twitter posting yesterday, when the episode first premiered, they don't like all of Optimus's cliche lines. Like, maximum overdrive and gravitize and all that stuff.
I didn't necessarily like those two. I also saw people kind of not liging some of the epic G1 lines that came out, and I liked those, especially the one where Ratchet says, "Let us light our darkest hour."
Yep.
That was perfectly really cool. Done. Some people didn't like that because it came from Ratchet, I guess, but I thought that was absolutely perfect. The "one shall stand, one shall fall" was fine. It didn't bother me. For me, it wasn't as epic as the "Let us light our darkest hour."
Yeah.
And the Autobots roll out is great. But I don't know about the whole gravitize and the maximum overdrive, but I guess that's, you know, the series has to have some lines that are just unique to it, too.
Well, the maximum overdrive, Optimus Primal used in Beast Wars. As for the gravitize, that was something they kind of did more so in, like, animated.
Gotcha.
I don't remember gravitize in animated.
Well, they didn't physically state it, but they did have to do that on occasion.
Yeah. As far as maximum overdrive, like Steve said, it's a takeoff of Optimus Primal saying "Jets maximum burn" from Beast Wars. I don't really like Cullen saying that. Other than that, everything else I don't really mind. And as far as gravitize, it's just a single word. It's just a single line. I don't think he's going to be saying it every time, and obviously he only said it because they were going into friggin' space.
Well, and they needed to show us, since they couldn't fly, how they were going to stay on that thing. So
exactly.
It was a necessary line. I mean, I can understand if it meant nothing and it had nothing to do with the plot, but they had to have that line so we could understand why the Autobots, who can't fly, were going to be able to stay on that little platform, or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
Now, see, I don't know about you guys, but I honestly think this whole five-parter, and I know this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I think this whole five-parter should have been the first movie.
Yeah.
Or at least the second one.
I love one of the posts that was made online. Somebody said, what did they say? Something about Michael Bay. They're like, Michael Bay just got his ass kicked by a cartoon or something like that. Or Michael Bay's movie just got his ass kicked by a 5-part cartoon.
It did, though. And that's the sad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying it's the fact that these writers have free reign, whereas Bay kind of reined him in and says, no, this is what I want, this is what we're doing.
Right. It makes you understand that that a lot of the things that we didn't like of the movie had to be 100% Michael Bay.
Yeah.
If Orci and Kurtzman are doing this here, they obviously weren't responsible for some of the shit that was in the movie.
And you can see the good things that came out of the movie actually made their way back into the 5-parter.
Right. It's almost like this is what we, if we had to do the movie over, this is what we would have done. A couple other things from episode 5. I loved Ratchet's line about when he yells at Optimus Prime, kind of, and he's like, if you leave me alone here with the humans or something like that. I thought it's kind of cool that he doesn't like the humans, because you needed that as far as one of the characters, since you have RC, Bumblebee, and Bulkhead basically paired up with each of the humans.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to have Ratchet dislike them. I love Bulkhead's line after they gravitize. He's like, don't look down or up.
Or left.
I was like, that's pretty cool. Fowler, he had already been doing this in episode 4, but Fowler in episode 4 and episode 5 is freaking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like random lines when he's trying to come out of his post-torture state is just great. What else do I have? Obviously, we have to talk about the whole Optimus Prime Megatron battle.
Yeah,
that was epic.
Yeah, it was.
And with the line, as soon as he said, "One shall stand, one shall fall," any Transformers fan had to have in the back of their head, there's a possibility we're about to see one of these guys die. Like that has to pop into your head, because the last time that was said was when Optimus Prime died.
Right.
So it's not like it's just some you know, lip service thing that they say all the time. This is a line that is used only in a pretty crucial, important situation. So as soon as they said that, I'm like, is Megatron or Optimus one of them going to die here? So I thought that was pretty cool. But Megatron basically owned Optimus for most of that fight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I thought for sure Prime was going to die during this. And I was like, are you serious? When they start doing the one shall stand, one shall fall, and then start going at it.
See, I thought right from the beginning that Megatron was going to die. But I was hoping that neither one of them would die. But I was like, they can't be doing it to Prime again. So maybe this is going to be Megatron's turn to die or something like that. But
well, I think that they had already said in like behind-the-scenes stuff, like the first episode or the first season or whatever it was, one of the Transformers will die. And that obviously was already Cliffjumper. So, I mean, Cliffjumper's dead. Twice.
More than twice.
Twice in this series. He died, he came back to life, he died again, so twice. Yeah. I don't think they're going to rush to killing Optimus right away, or Megatron for that matter, because I don't think that they're going to fall into the trap of, oh, one of these guys has to die, or both of them have to die, or one of them has to die and the other one has to be reborn as its secondary protocol, i.e. Galvatron or whatever.
I've heard that rumored many times so far.
Well,
Megatron's going to be fucked up and pieced together into some Galvatron-looking type guy.
You know,
well, I personally think that they're going to pull, and this is just personal opinion, there's, from the Generation 1 Marvel comics, there's an issue where Megatron gets into a big-ass battle with the Predacons, and, I mean, granted, this is a different situation, but he gets damaged so bad that he ends up in a scrap heap, having to nurse himself back to health on Cybertron because of a space bridge accident. So it's possible they may pull an idea from that for what happens to Megatron from here.
Yeah.
Because he did touch through the portal partially.
Right. So you don't know what side of the space bridge he's on as the episode ends, for sure. Which leads a lot of possibilities. But I think the fact that Cliffjumper already was killed in the very first episode, it kind of put everybody on watch that, look, at any time anybody could die. You know, it's not like when you're watching G1 and you know that no figure is ever going to die. you know, because it wasn't done at that time. It, obviously, until the animated or until the 86 movie. But it, as far as this series go, that's why when they say one shall stand, one shall fall, because Cliffjump already died, that's what gives you the legitimate, wait, one of these guys might die. That's why when RC gets hurt, you're like, well, she could be dead because they've already killed somebody. So I think it was great that they did that in the first episode, because now for the rest of this series run, you know that the possibility of someone dying is around the corner at any time.
Yeah.
And there is no, oh, let's just put a little bit of, you know, grease on them and they're fine. You know, yeah. Like G1.
Well, not only that. Hurt
really was Prime, so.
Not only that, it's also the thing of, you know, oh, and, you know, I at first I was skeptical about Animated. Everybody knows my story on Animated, and it will be covered, you know, later next summer. But the thing about Animated was, they're like, oh, let's insert this key and let's heal everybody. They don't have that here, obviously, because actually we, even though Kevin doesn't like it, but the Allspark was mentioned, we haven't actually seen it yet. And honestly, I hope we don't see it.
Well, yeah, and it was like, mentioned again in Episode 5, too, unfortunately.
Well, it's an almost like them mentioning, you know, the blood of Unicron.
Mm-hmm.
And then Starscream starts going into it about Unicron, and it leads you to believe that, yes, Unicron does exist, but as far as they're concerned, it's a legend. And I'm hoping they never freaking bring Megatron or Unicron in this. Although the Dark Energon has kind of been done before.
Yeah.
In the Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo line. And that's what brought about Unicron's revival.
I think it would be cool if Unicron was brought into it only for one reason. If he's only brought into it to turn... Because the idea here, as far as what I was left with, is that now on Cybertron there's a whole army of these undead guys. With Megatron possibly there, Megatron possibly not there. But I've... You know, I heard some speculation, or I was reading some people's thoughts about what would come next, or this or that. I do think it would be cool if somehow Unicron was involved in taking that army of undead and making them back into regular bots with personalities, identities, you know, regular Decepticons / Autobots, whatever. Like, if he fixed them from being undead to actually having, like, an identity, I think that would be a cool thing to do.
The only thing that I'm wondering is how... The thing about it is they're using so many different... not really using so many different continuities, but they're taking things from all the different continuities. But the main storyline, the main backstory is War for Cybertron, because if you look at the way that Optimus and Megatron interact with each other, they kind of interact with each other not as enemies sometimes. Like, if you look at some of their voice exchanges, because they're reflecting on the way that things were on Cybertron. And I know I had mentioned in previous episodes and on other shows that I really want a War for Cybertron-like cartoon. And this kind of is it, but obviously it's not set on Cybertron like the game is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. I think the only thing I really hate about Part 5 is the exact same thing I hate about the damn movies. Optimus needs to stop sending messages to people.
Oh, I love that. I love when he does that, because to me it's like a call out to any Transformers that are out there, and it leaves open the possibility that, you know, someone on some distant planet or some Autobot or Transformer that was not on Cybertron at that time, like, hears it and comes to Earth, and it leaves a lot of open for possibilities down the line for me.
Yeah, I remember what I was going to say earlier when Steve brought up the whole thing of Unicron coming back and turning them back into regular robots. The other thing is, you've got Ratchet, Optimus, Bulkhead, Bumblebee, and RC. That's five Autobots, and then you have Megatron, Soundwave, and Starscream as three Decepticons. So technically the Autobots outnumber the Decepticons. Well, the drones really don't count. I mean, they're friggin' drones.
Well, yeah, but the drones are not like the undead zombies. They're pretty badass.
Well, no, they are badass, but what I'm saying is, as far as characters, we only have three Decepticons, five Autobots. I'm hoping that even though I really don't like Optimus sending messages out, because I'm tired of hearing Peter Cullen say all that stuff, because it's movie stuff to me, I hope that they do bring in more characters, because after a while, the same eight main characters, it's going
to
get old.
Oh, yeah, they're going to bring other people, and they have to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's one of the things I did like from the movie when Optimus said those things. But yeah, I think, you know, I think they figured eight characters for these first five episodes was enough for people to try to get used to, plus the three humans. So that's basically 11 characters that you had to somewhat get a feel for and establish them as the main characters. So I think
four humans. Fowler.
Oh, I guess. I think they do a good job of establishing all those, and it's going to leave the door open for them now. Transitioning into adding a few bots here and there throughout the series, hopefully.
I don't know if it was Kurtzman or Orsi. One of the creators said that when they first revealed RC's design, that she was going to be blue, and they're like, well, we don't want a pink Transformer in our show because, you know, whatever else. What I noticed about RC and her design, she has the G1 pink around her face, on those lines on her face. If you look at it, you know what I'm talking about?
I didn't notice it, but I'll look for it now.
Yeah. Steve?
Yeah, I noticed it, but, I mean,
it's not so noticeable, and it's just like one, it's just like two little lines, like, on her jaw, and there's a little pink thing, like, up on her forehead, so it's not so noticeable. Obviously, she is blue, and that's fine. I don't mind that, but when I was watching the episodes back, I noticed, I'm like, oh, okay, they are incorporating kind of RC's original color a bit, so I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, but, I mean, it's not one of those things that, I mean, her whole design is new, so I really don't care what it looks like. It's practically a whole new version of the character anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not disappointed with any of them for the most part.
Yeah. Who's, since we've kind of touched on all five episodes, just kind of as a few general thoughts on the whole thing overall, who's each of your guys' favorite and least favorite character so far?
Steve?
I would have to say Megatron is the motherfucking man. I would have to say he is my favorite character because... this version of Megatron from Prime dwarfs all of the rest of them. Like, other than Beast Wars Megatron, but I mean, he freaking, I don't know, it's just, the whole, like, look of him, the jagged teeth, the pointy helmet, the G1 style with War for Cybertron style built in. You know, you got the awesome altered voice of his G1. And it does kind of sound like he has a little bit of the Beast Wars in it just because he's got more of that calmish, deep voice for when he's just talking, and then he's got his G1 rasped when he's, you know, just into it.
Yeah.
But he's more of a guy of action, you know, taking matters into his own hands, not relying on his troops, kind of like Beast Wars Megatron, whereas G1 would sit there and just kind of like, oh, go do this for me, Starscream, you know, and this one's like, no, fuck you, Starscream, you're not touching nothing, don't do anything unless I tell you.
Yeah. What about your least favorite character so far?
Least favorite? I'm probably going to catch flack for it, but... I'm going to, like, besides Miko, I'm not all that thrilled with her, but I wouldn't say she's my worst favorite. I would have to say it's kind of a tie between Soundwave and Bumblebee, and only because they don't freaking talk. Soundwave, granted, is one-upped Bumblebee only because he can replay messages that the people have said, but until he talks... I'm not going to be happy with him, and I'm not happy with his design overall. Bumblebee's design I'm fine with, but I'm sorry, he should be a speaking role. Other than that, I mean, I think that's about my only complaints about as far as the characters are concerned.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
RC and Bulkhead are my favorites as far as the robots go. Optimus, he's okay again. And I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here, but he has to remain faceplated because I'm sorry. It's almost like if you cut off Steven Tyler's lips or Angelina Jolie's lips. There's nothing there. And I'm not saying he has to have their size. I'm just saying he has to have something there that makes it look realistic. It doesn't look fucking realistic to me. RC and Bulkhead, because I like one of the reasons why I like Bulkhead so much is because he's not the bumbler that he was. He is a little bit, but for the most part, he is Mr. I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
And I love that about him. RC, because she's probably the only one that really emotes in vehicle mode.
I like that you've come full circle, though, because at the beginning, weren't you absolutely against RC?
No.
No, I mean before even episode one, when they were back, when RC wasn't going to be pink, didn't you have a huge problem with that?
Well, I kind of did, because, I mean, but the thing about RC is that one of the reasons why I like her so much is because she is basically Prowl with movie. I mean, she's basically animated Prowl design with movie influences. Because if you look at her wheels in robot mode, they're exactly her whole robot mode is basically a very slim version of Prowl. It's very slim, sleek version of animated Prowl. I wasn't sure if I was going to like Bulkhead in the beginning. I think that's the one that I didn't really hate him, but I don't really care for him in animated. He's okay, but he's just meh. But in this one, I absolutely love him. The humans, as far as Bumblebee and Soundwave, I would have to agree with Steve. Until Soundwave talks, I'm reserving judgment on his overall character, but I hate his design as far as his alt mode. Bumblebee, I like the interaction he has with Raph. I like that the best out of Bumblebee in his alt mode. But yeah, we don't need an Ebonic speaking R2-D2.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. Bumblebee is definitely my least favorite character. I don't know if it's because he doesn't talk. I don't know if it's because he looks the most like the movie design. I don't know if it's just because they've done nothing with him so far, because he's kind of just been in the background for most of the five episodes. But Bumblebee would be my least favorite, and I'm going to cheat and say my favorite is the entire Decepticon team, because I love almost everything about Megatron, Starscream, and Soundwave so far. I don't have the same issues that you guys have with Soundwave. I understand the body thing and the alt mode and whatnot, but I love all three of those guys so far. I think they're all epic. Starscream and Megatron's voices are incredible. Soundwave's face is my favorite face in the entire group of Transformers in Autobots or Decepticons. I love the Decepticons so far. Stop laughing, you bastard child.
I'll laugh if I want to, damn it. Now, it's been rumored, and I know they've come out and said that we're not getting toys from the Transformers Prime stuff. Lately, since the five-part thing has premiered, there's been a lot of rumors saying, oh, they're going to come out, or oh, they're going to make them, or oh, whatever. I don't know if I'd want Transformers Prime toys, just because, especially in Optimus's case, because it's just movie Optimus. There really isn't anything different about him. I mean, other than like some different molding on his head and stuff like that, but it's...
I thought I heard for sure that we were getting toys in 2011 towards the end, but maybe that was just a rumor.
That could be.
I'm personally hoping that they do come out with them, because I can tell you right now...
You want Megatron.
No, I would buy probably three of them as it stands right now. I'd buy Ratchet, Megatron, and Prime.
Yeah. Again, like I said a second ago, Prime, I don't know. But if they did make like a Bulkhead toy, that would probably be the only Bulkhead toy I own, because I didn't like the animated version. So I really, his alt mode is just kick ass.
Yours?
Really quick, let me just get this out of the way. I'm hoping before they do Prime toys that they do more War for Cybertron toys, because I want War for Cybertron design toys of Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker.
Boo to the War for... are you talking about the ones that, like, the ones that so far we have Optimus and Bumblebee and Megatron and Soundwave?
Yeah.
Boo to those.
Why?
I hate the alt modes.
Why?
The alt modes are stupid.
The alt modes are cool. What the hell is wrong with you?
Just some smooth...
The War for Cybertron?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the smooth, like, no edges Cybertronian vehicle type mode. I just don't like it.
The only one I have of word for Cybertron is Megatron.
Megatron's the best because he doesn't have that smoothed over alt mode. He's Megatron's badass. No, I like the Megatron figure, but the Bumblebee and the Optimus Prime I can do without.
The Prime I like his robot form. As for the Megatron, I like his robot form as well. I mean, it's more so I don't care for...
Yeah, I like the robot forms in almost all of them. It's the dumb alt modes that I don't like.
Well, and what I'm saying is what I would like to see before we get Prime Toys is I want them to do figures for Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker from the game because those jet modes were awesome in the game.
Yeah, they would be probably the better alt modes out of the group then. I just like to see more classics anyway.
So what about you, Kevin? What are your... I don't even know what the fuck the damn question was anymore.
We finished the question, jackass.
I don't know what the hell it was.
Pay attention. Stop surfing the internet and clicking around and pay attention to the damn
I'm not surfing no internet.
No, we were talking about the characters and we wrapped up on the characters. I think the only thing left is basically final thoughts on the entire arc.
February needs to get here now. To hell with Christmas, to hell with New Year's. February needs to get here now.
Yeah, it's only 2 months away, and I think, you know, on positive for everybody out there, you know, thank goodness that not only the YouTube and the torrent feeds are pretty fast, but the Hub Network itself and the Hub Online even put the episodes up, so that's great for all you guys that don't get the channel.
Yep.
And those of you that want to download it, don't want to torrent, or can't watch that kind of stuff and just want to download the episodes for later, you can go to PredaconEmpire.com.
Yes, but they're shameless. Basically just the YouTube feeds.
Yes, but who cares?
No,
you don't have to wait for it to buffer.
Well, no, I know that, but I'm
and
just
you can
saying.
Have them on your hard drive in yeah. two-part increments.
There you go. But so I think it's great that it's available out for people that don't have the channel, and, you know, 2 months is not too long. You know, I think it gives them time to do some more work. I mean, I know some of the stuff's probably already shot, but, you know, I think they did that, number one, so they could get some reactions from the fans, maybe, and kind of take that into account as they move forward. And number two, because obviously it's sweeps month or whatever.
Mm.
So,
well, what
and it did do ratings. It did do massive ratings when it came out on the Hub channel.
Oh, I'm sure
it would've. It, that and G.I. Joe Renegades, between the two, they boosted drastically the Hub's ratings.
Yeah. Did you see the last episode of Renegades yet, Steve?
Is it episode 3 or 2?
Or episode 3?
No, I haven't seen 3. I haven't been able to find a good YouTube video of it.
Okay.
It's on the G.I. Joe official YouTube channel. Hold on, I'll get you the link.
The G.I. Joe Renegades one?
Yeah.
They introduced a new character that was pretty badass, I thought.
Yeah, I heard something about that. Yeah. I found it now. Okay. Oh, Major Blood, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw part of the clip. And he didn't have his eye patch yet.
No, but...
He
watch
will.
The episode. Watch the episode. It kind of explains where the eye patch came from.
Yeah, so I guess we should probably close up shop on ATTF-55, considering I'm hearing nothing but bass from downstairs. I hate my fucking neighbors.
Yeah, I hear bow chugga wow wow.
It's Miko and Jack and Raph.
The band just got back together.
The band just got back together. Balkhead will tell him to shut up here in a minute, don't worry.
No comment.
They're down there disguising the sounds of dot dot dot.
Oh god.
Miko and Balkhead.
That's that goes to the one comment that we didn't talk about, which was when Jack said to RC, "You're my first."
She says, "There's other bikes out there." He's like, "Yeah, but you're my first," and he fondles her hand.
It's like that. That's creepy.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Steve, close the show.
Alrighty, then. Peace off.
That's it?
What?
Lame.
I kind of liked it.
Lame.
Death to you all.
Alright, so seriously, is that all you're going to leave us with?
Yes. Go fucking watch Transformers Prime.
We would never make it, Lord Megatron! Don't be a fool! Take flight and retreat!
Optimus, the ground bridge is ready and waiting!
Autobots, jump! No.
Decepticons, it is with deep sorrow that I note for the log. Megatron's spark has been extinguished. All hail Starscream.
Without a means of leaving this world, we Autobots take strength in the bonds we have forged with our three young friends. True warriors. If not in body, then in spirit. My name is Optimus Prime, and I send this message. Though we did not choose to be of Earth, it would seem that we are here to stay. If you approach this planet with hostile intent, know this. We will defend ourselves. We will defend humanity. We will defend our home.
Yes.
But then you want to be in record too.
Shut up, Bug. This is Transformers Prime we're speaking of.